Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, folks. As usual, it's Taylor Nielsen and Jordan Macon on the only podcast where you can get to know and laugh with your favorite Dry Bar comedians. And I'm not going to let you say anything.
I was going to say, thank you for not making me say anything. It's a burden for me to introduce myself, to be totally honest.
Well, you need no introduction, Jordan, at this point. I'll say that.
Thanks. But you still introduced me.
Yeah. I didn't mean it. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I spent a lot of time with you today. We had lunch before this.
What a treat.
We ate hot chicken together.
Dave's hot chicken.
Oh, we eat it a lot.
We do. Literally probably every time we record.
Every time we record. I have a Pavlovian effect where if I know I'm podcasting, I'm craving Dave's hot chicken.
Wow.
Not a sponsor, by the way.
Yeah. You got to Pavlovian earlier than I thought we would.
Yeah, usually I like to work it into every episode. It's the one science thing I understand.
Well, let's jump to our clip because we got such a great guest today. What do you say?
Let's cut to it.
Are you a good student, Ammon? You do well. How are you in math? You're good at it. I was terrible at math. And I'll tell you what gave me the biggest problem growing up, multiplication. So here's what I would do. With multiplication, I would associate the numbers with things that I knew. So take the problem like 7 times 7. I would think 7 castaways on Gilligan's Island. Who was the star of Gilligan's Island? Bob Denver. Denver's in Colorado. When you think of Colorado, what do you think of? Mountains. Mountains in Spanish is montañas, which is spelled the same as Montana. Who's the most famous Montana? Joe Montana, who played for... 49ers. The homeschool table is furiously working that out. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute here. We haven't gotten to the sevens yet.
All right, everybody. You know him. You love him, our guest. You've seen his Dry Bar special. I'm a Rescue. Thanks for being with us. Tom Clark, everybody.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Wow. In the flesh.
In the flesh. How did you get me here?
I don't know.
You don't remember anything.
A bag was placed over my head. You're coming with us.
Pretty nice, though, right?
Yeah, it's not
pretty
too
nice.
Bad.
It's nice.
Full water.
How was the flight into Utah today?
It was nice. I saw a guy on the plane eating Good and Plenty's. I've never seen... I thought Good and Plenty's stopped being made, and I was just enjoying a movie box of Good and Plenty's.
I don't even think I've heard that. I couldn't tell you what it looks like, though.
Yeah, I don't think you can buy that at the airport. Like, I feel like he's got it from my movie theater. It's like, the flight.
I think you're right. I think these are really outdated candies, but I'm a huge Good and Plenty fan.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of my go-tos if I'm...
It's like... Eating like Tylenols or something.
What are they?
They're like caplets. They're like pink and white.
They're sugar covered black licorice. Mm-hmm. And they're
sugar covered black licorice.
But they're pink and white.
The name of it sounds like somebody's done with it already. I'm good. That's plenty.
It was made in like the 1950s. Like it's so old.
Yeah.
There's been no updates to it.
We talked about jujubes on the podcast before.
Oh, I love jujubes.
You love jujubes, and that's probably from around the same year, I would guess.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what that candy is either. What's that one?
I'm not sure it's candy. It's just you just eat it and it does it. You can't, then you just eventually swallow it.
Is that how it works?
Just pump it out of your belly when you're dead.
Yeah, it's like, pretty close to rocks.
A lot of jujubes.
That's funny. But a lot of those old candies look a lot like pills. You notice that?
Yeah. Maybe to trick the kids when they needed medicine back in the olden days.
Yeah.
Same factory, maybe. They just had...
Those are Good and Plenty's, you idiot.
Instead of sending life-saving medication, people are getting Good and Plenty's.
I don't like black licorice very much.
Neither am I. I'm a big black licorice.
You are, though?
I really like black licorice, yeah.
What's that flavor all about? What do you like about it?
You know, how do I answer that? I don't know.
It's a root flavor, right?
Yeah, it is. It's close to root beer, I'd say.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
But more intense.
More intense, yeah.
More intense. This is truly a Mormon podcast. More intense than root beer. I mean, we're talking black licorice. Woo!
We had an intervention with
Taylor. He's got eats a lot of black licorice.
I've got a problem. Serious problem. Well, Tom, I've worked at Dry Bar for a few years now, and I've you and I asked you about this earlier, but you recorded really early on. I remember seeing your clips forever.
Yes, I recorded in 2017. I forgot the month, but it was they reached out to me and just like, do you want to do this thing? They described it as, I don't know if I could, they described it as Netflix for Mormons.
That's
right.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this sounds interesting.
Yeah.
There was no background on it. It was just like, you know, we'll take you to this undisclosed location in Provo, Utah. And and we shot it, and it was just, first of all, they were so nice. But I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. They were so friendly. What do you want to eat? Like, no club ever asks you, what do you want to eat? They're just they're barely happy you showed up.
It sounds like you did the first show ever.
I don't think it was the first. I think it was maybe the second week, but I think mine actually came out, like, as far as production, it was one of the first release. So
oh, wow.
Easiest to edit, probably, because you were such a professional.
My first show was great. My first show was, honestly, I was like, this is that, and I'm pretty sure that was the one they used. I don't think they even left like a flub. Like, I started a joke that I was like, oh, this I can't do. And I didn't finish it. And they're like, oh, they'll probably edit that out. And then I think in the subtitle it says, no, we didn't. I think they'll take this out. And then it's like, no, we're not.
Oh, that's
going
funny.
To.
That's a good beat.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
In my first Dry Bar special, they thought I had ended my set because I had like a dramatic pause in a joke, and they started playing the music in the middle of my. It was actually pretty funny.
Right.
And I told them to keep it in. And then they didn't.
Oh.
I know.
It's always.
What's the deal with that, Taylor?
It sounds like they do the opposite of what you want them to do.
Yeah. Since I have asked for a different co-host for many weeks.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Come on.
Oh, boy.
No, no,
oh,
no.
Boy.
Checking the
camera.
You can't.
And adjusting my shorts.
Yeah. He's the only one wearing shorts in the studio.
Yeah. This is the first time wearing shorts on the podcast.
It will move.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, good legs.
They're shorts are more intense than pants.
Between the black licorice and the shorts, you're living living on the edge.
Really strayed from the path, my friend.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's but shooting the special, because when I did it, you did two sets. You did one, I think, and then I think one show I went up early, and then one show I went up late. And with the first one, I went up first, and there was an opener, and then. But yeah, that was the best one. It was so much fun, but it was still like getting, it sort of clicks on in your head, like, oh, they're recording this, and now this is gonna, and I didn't know what was gonna happen with it, but I mean, when it's released, you know, it's like it really blew up, like it really, like, you know, hundreds of thousands, you know, I never had that happen with any videos of mine, and it was such a cool thing, and they were still trying to figure out sort of the marketing of it. Like, what are we going to do? Facebook, YouTube. And so I had like a couple of iterations of like, oh, this got like a million, but then they maybe took it down and put up another version of it to get more views on it. So so I was kind of in that experimental, like, how do we market these guys? And yeah, it was pretty amazing to watch that.
So you're saying you got a million views and they took the video down?
I think so. I'm
pretty sure. Breaking the internet is what's happening.
That is literally breaking the internet. It's just too much. Yeah.
You have a lot of crowd work in that special.
Yes.
Is that a staple of your act usually, or was that?
I'm the only comedian who does crowd work. it's a new thing. I don't know if you guys know it.
How'd you?
What
think
I do is I work the crowd. No. Yeah, it's always something I've done, and it's something I like to incorporate. You know, it's always just I have a background in improv. I did Second City and Groundlings, Comedy Sports, all that stuff. So
improv comedian right here.
All
right.
Yeah,
I do Comedy Sports. There's one on this road, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started at the one in Milwaukee. I started with Dan Harmon from Rick and Morty.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Community. He was my teacher at one point.
That's cool.
So yeah, really in the cool. Mid-90s, yeah. So yeah, I love doing improv. So yeah, that's always the closest I get. And I'm not like roasting people, or it's always trying to like almost incorporate them into the scene, sort of like we do in improv, especially with comedy sports, which is family friendly and that sort of thing. Like I never try to be mean spirited. I'm always sort of the butt of the joke. It's like it's sort of just playing off of them, and I love that spontaneity and you know what I come up with in the moment.
Sometimes
the crowd work videos feel a little either trying too hard or just a little like you're kind of being a jerk, you know.
Right.
So the comedian being a jerk.
Like kind of like egging them on or trying to create a moment
for sure, you know?
Were you a referee when you were doing comedy sports?
I refereed all the time. Yeah. I reffed. We had a high school league too, so we taught at different high schools. So I taught all around L.A. area. So I taught like Jessica Williams, who was on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Kimmy Abapornia, who's like a big actress right now. So I was like working with like future, these future, like,
that's wild.
Way better careers than I do. I'm just like. But yeah, so I was always reffing the high school matches, and like, and sometimes the kids would like boo me because they get so intense with like the competition aspect.
Sure.
So it was, but comedy sport. I mean, for a comedian, that's like cake for us, right? It's just like we get to just be funny off the cuff, and you know they do the games and everything, and then we get
I feel like it's tough to beat that format. I mean, just as far as short form, at least.
I mean, it was because I started in Milwaukee, so we had comedy sports there. So you know, the late '80s is when it started,
right?
And with Dick Chudnow was part of Kentucky Fried Theater, which was a theater in Madison, which was the Abram Zucker team. That's where they started. So Dick was with these three guys, and they all moved out to L.A. to start this theater, to continue their theater company. And Dick had a nervous breakdown, sold all of his bits to the Abram Zucker, and then moved back to Milwaukee and started Comedy Sports.
Oh, wow.
And Abram Zucker, of course, went on to create Airplane and Kentucky Fried Movie. So...
Wow.
Sort of an interesting, you know.
I had no idea about the founders of comedy sports.
Like, yeah, and it just grew from there, and it started getting, marketed to, franchising it to all these other cities. And
has it always had a Z on the end?
Oh, yeah, we love the Z's. Yeah. Right?
Especially in Utah, we love Z's for the jazz. Because we have stores like Fans with a Z and stuff. Like anything with a Z at the end.
I just heard, what do you think of the new hockey team name?
Did they settle on it?
It's called the Utah Hockey Club.
Is that the name forever or just this year?
Well, it's just this year.
They settled on that then?
Yeah, they're sort of like the Washington football team.
Yeah.
What a
cop-out?
Inept way to, like... Because, I mean, so are people going to buy the merchandise? And then, like, I suppose they think, like, oh, people will buy this. They'll think it's going to be worth money in 10 years.
I haven't pre-ordered a ton of it. I don't stay away from it.
They should have, like, UHC guy over here.
They should have another team name that's not relevant to Utah, like the Jazz. So
yeah, let's do R&B is another one.
Did you have a preferred name that you saw for Utah?
Well,
hockey team? Utah Hockey Club?
The one I liked, nobody liked.
Which was?
I wanted to do Utah Pioneers. And have a big, like, beefy tank hand cart they'd pull out into the, like, shoot t-shirts into the crowd and stuff. Like, really lean into it.
Yeah.
But most people didn't like that. But to me, people were like, that's just so it's too Utah Mormony or whatever. But to me, it's like 49ers or like Trailblazers. It's like the historical aspect of the city. Yeah. I think that's kind of cool.
What would be the mascot?
Just
like a little house in the prairie.
Yeah.
Somebody in a bonnet.
There's a lot of bonnets.
Oh, man. Strikes the fear into an opponent. I went to a school called Pius the 11th High School, Catholic school, and our mascot or our team name was the Popes. So,
but how much were you able to do without being sacrilegious?
For some reason, our mascot was a sugar bear.
Well, yeah, obviously.
We're wearing a Pope hat.
We're the Jazz with a bear as our mascot also.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
that seems to be the go-to. It's like, you know, popes, bears. I saw a funny video today of all these, apparently the Pope sat down with all these comedians, like Fallon and Gaffigan and Stephen Colbert, and they all, I don't know why, he's just talking to 200 comics from around the world. And then he shook hands with all of them, and he's in his chair shaking hands. And it's so funny because the Pope barely acknowledges any of them. Like Stephen Colbert says something to him, like maybe in Spanish, and he's just like, and then he walks away. Because the Pope doesn't really acknowledge him. It's like watching a celebrity blow off another celebrity. And it's so, as like somebody who's been blown off by celebrities, it's funny to watch these guys. Because they all turn back like, don't you want to talk to me more? Yeah, if you get a chance to watch the video, it is the greatest.
Pope pones comedians.
Pretty much, he just blows them all off.
He's going to get a lot of reels out of that.
Right,
He's going to have a lot of reels.
Just say, oh, he's not going to talk to me. Jimmy Fallon, Colbert, Gaffigan, they all get blown off.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good.
As someone from out of Utah, what would you think our new hockey team should be named?
I mean, I like the Pioneers. I mean, I think that's...
Oh, thank you.
I mean,
yeah.
Everyone
makes
tells
sense.
Them like it. Yeah.
Yeah, like it come out in a big schooner wagon, like the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, it'd be cool, I think.
Yeah. What do the Sooners do? The Sooners have Oklahoma. What's their mascot? I mean, it's a covered wagon, and then like I think a horse. I guess it's just like a horse and a covered.
Yeah,
wagon.
But I don't know who like the thing that's dressed up. I don't know who.
Yeah, that yeah, probably. That's what you got to think of. Is what can we make the mascot?
Yeah, because Yeti's big right now.
Oh yeah.
People like that.
Yetis would be good.
Yeah,
Yeti. What's Venom? Was another
Venom.
Possible. I think that could be cool because we got some rattlesnakes here.
Yeah.
Makes Swarm sense. Or Hive, because we're the beehive state.
Oh, congratulations.
No, I like
congratulations.
Trappers. I like the Trappers.
Oh, I like
Bird
the
Trappers. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
He's so happy about it. Trappers. Huh? Trappers? Pelts? Huh?
Pelts is good.
They would sell a lot of pelts.
Throw pelts to
there'd
the
be
kids.
A lot of raccoon hats.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know. It is, you got to think of the mascot. Like, who's the best? Well, remember, like, Philadelphia Flyers, they just have that crazy-looking...
just insane thing.
Yeah. I forget what it's called, but it's...
It does have a name, but I don't remember what it is either.
But it's just like this... It looks like Grimace or something.
Yeah.
Oh, the Fanatic?
No, not the Fanatic. It's like this orange, the Maniac or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's like it doesn't really matter what the name is. They just throw the mascot.
Yeah, a mascot can be whatever, I think.
Yeah. Cause I guess, Philly's Fanatic was just... It has nothing to do with horses, so it's just like...
Yeah,
they just made up some kind of Dr. Seuss type thing.
Right.
That's what I would really like them to do for Utah, is some kind of make up a whole new creature.
And have that be the name, too, or just be the mascot?
What could it be? it could be like Utah, Philly Fanatic, Utah Utopian. Some
just,
sort of kind of
just
fuzzy
superior
angel.
Being that just...
You're not allowed to talk
blank.
To it.
Right.
It snubs you like the Pope.
Snubs you like the Pope. Yeah.
Well, have you performed much in Utah over the years?
Oh, yeah. This is like, not to bring up names, but yeah, Keith Stubbs, who, you know, he's the one who contacted me about Dry Bar.
Yeah.
He's one of the first to headline me in starting here in Utah. I did the West Valley Room, which was around for a while. I'd headline, you know, Wednesday. You know, back then I was like Wednesday to Saturday. I think sometimes even Sunday. So you'd be here like for 5 days.
And
it was just like every day you're doing the 45-minute show. And, I loved it. I would probably come here in the early days in the aughts. I'd probably come here like, you know, 5-6 times a year between Ogden, West Valley, and I think there was a downtown room then. But
yeah, there was a Trolley Square.
Yeah, Trolley Square, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd be here like 5 or 6 times a year. I think I did like my own independent DVD here and all that
stuff.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
Did you reach out to Keith originally, or did he see you somewhere and was like, you should come here? Or?
I think I reached out to, I think, Dobie Maxwell, who was my stand-up teacher when I was starting out. He put in a word with him. And,
oh, cool.
Is he from Milwaukee area? Or
yeah,
Chicago,
Dobie's
or?
From Milwaukee. Yeah. Okay. And lives in Chicago.
I'm on his comedy page, and I've heard his name
Yeah, he's originally from Milwaukee, and then pretty much Chicago is kind of his adopted hometown now. But yeah, he started a comedy class, and that's kind of how I started. My brother took the class and never finished. And then I was like, I shall avenge you, brother. And I took the class, and I'm coming up on 30 years now. 1994 is when I started.
That's wild, so, man. July. You look young. You look so young.
Oh, thank you. I moisturize.
So going back to when you started, what kind of made you want to try comedy?
Because you're doing improv first, and did somebody not yes and you, and you were out? And you did stand up.
You're not doing it right. No, I was doing. Well, I started in stand up. Actually, the improv I did about a year after that. Okay. But I think it was just something I always wanted to do. I lived in Mexico. I did my quote-unquote mission, my Catholic mission on my own, which was after I graduated college, I went to Ciudad Juarez, and I lived, worked with gangs in Juarez for 6 months, solved the problem there. And,
you haven't heard about much.
Yeah. No gangs, I don't think, anymore. big influence. But I went down there. It was the scariest experience of my life.
Yeah.
Because I took Spanish, but I mean, this was a whole different world, and they hated me. And this was not a good era for U.S.-Mexico relations. And, I get threatened. They'd throw rocks at me, all this stuff. Whoa. It was really scary. Then I started playing guitar for them. I played guitar okay. I played like the Eagles and like Nirvana, like their heavy songs from Nirvana, and I just got a kick out of it. I was like, wow, if I can perform for these cholos in the middle of Juarez and they like it, I was like, I could probably do comedy in English. Yeah, so that's sort of what started it. I came back, and my brother was finishing up that class, and then I decided to take it after him and went through it and did really well in the show, in the showcase. And then after that, it was a big struggle for about 2 years after that great showcase. Yeah. So it was brutal.
That's cool that you had a, because we both obviously, you know, Mormon background. We did church missions too. And
where'd you guys go?
I went to the Ciudad of Lubbock, Texas. Isn't Ciudad mean city?
Right.
Yeah. I took a leap there. I didn't know. Yeah, I was in West Texas and East New Mexico. It was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I was in New England, so I was in New Hampshire and Boston and Rhode Island and stuff.
I haven't heard of any problems there.
We took care of it.
Pretty nailed down, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty nailed down.
I found oil while I was down there.
Really?
Yeah, nobody had found it yet. That's a big Texas, big oil place.
Yeah.
Yeah. this was funny. I there's two Mormons in our neighborhood, and we live in Agoura Hills area, which we don't really need to convert a lot of people. Like, it's pretty wealthy area. I don't know if they need help. But they came up to me, and I said, hey, do you guys know Dry Bar Comedy? And they're like, yeah, we've heard of it. I was like, I have a special on there if you guys want to check it out. They're going door to door trying to convert people. I'm converting them to watching my comedy special. Yeah. I'm pitching myself.
Let me give you a flyer, actually.
Here's a postcard. Check it out. Click on the QR code.
There.
Yeah. Leave a comment. Leave a comment. It always helps. I'll do the same.
Yeah. Well, I have the feeling they were feeling like that was a really promising contact as well.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
were seeing a lot of potential too. Yeah,
a little disappointed they didn't know who I was.
You're like, I was one of the first.
Right, one of the
yeah.
founder.
Early on.
Person, yeah.
I feel like you're always, the clips you always post, you're performing at interesting places all the time. Is this true? Boy, this I feel like
a,
you're always
a roast.
Throwing. No, not as
it
a bad thing.
That. It did sound
sorry,
that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to come across as condescending. Do you put on shows yourself at like places that aren't comedy venues all the time?
Like the Little Rascals. Hey, fellas, let's put on a show.
Do you do your own little
thing in the barn? Come on down to the barn, everybody. I'm just busting your chest. But no, you're right. We do a lot of shows that aren't club based. It's just like, you know, breweries, wineries. I kind of love those places. And like one thing I heard like Zach Galifianakis say was he loved performing at like laundromats or, you know, outside in a tent or whatever, because he's like, there's no expectations of what the comedy should be. And I feel like sometimes with a club, it is, you know, what people are seeing on TikTok or whatever. It's like, oh, they're going to talk to us and we're going to respond, or I'm going to heckle, I'm going to go viral with it.
I feel like
in the other venues, people are just like, I've never seen comedy before and I wonder what this is. And I feel like it's just, I kind of enjoy those venues a little bit more. Because you can kind of get away with a little bit more, a little bit weirder stuff. And I think that's kind of why I like doing it.
Yeah. I think I saw one where you were, like, there was a window and there were people walking in the street and you were trying to pull, you were yelling at people to come into this thing. I like that video.
I was in Napa Valley, and yeah, we were literally like this big open door, and it was just like little kids like stopping. And, like, who's that man, mommy? He's trying to get his dream, honey. Oh. Let's keep walking. Keep
walking. Don't make eye contact. Keep going.
Yeah. What would you say your strangest or weirdest gig you've ever done?
Oh, boy. Strangest or weirdest gig? I just did a show for a 15-year-old's birthday party in the backyard by the pool.
Yeah.
Did he request you specifically, this 15-year-old?
Well, I submitted for it. He liked my video, I guess, the best. But I don't know if you've performed for 15-year-olds sitting by a pool, but the pool is definitely more tempting. That's always the worst gig, because I did another gig. It was somebody's birthday party. It was right by a water slide, and they made all the kids get off the water slide to watch the comedy. Oh, no. I mean, it's beautiful water slide, like something you'd see, you know, in you know, at Six Flags, and it's like, and then they all got to get off and watch idiot over here do 45 minutes, and I'm just sweating, just through my pants. Like at the end of the show, I was wearing like really thin pants, and it was like 100 degrees in July, and they're just all wet because I was just bombing so bad.
Oh, man.
Those are always bad, but you know, I've definitely bombed a few times. The other one I always talk about is Pauly Shore. I opened for Pauly Shore, and this was, I was a couple years into comedy, and I was at a rock club, and I used to open my show by saying "Viva la gente" up with people in Spanish.
Yeah.
And I would encourage the whole audience to sing with me. I was in a phase of like trying to be weird, like sort of Andy Kaufman-esque. And the audience just started booing. Like, come on, you guys, sing with me. And they're like, boo. Like, and it was so loud. It was like, it's probably like 700 people booing me. I was like 5 minutes into my set, and I still had 15 minutes. And I was like, well, I'm not going to not continue. Like, I need $75. So I kept doing my set, and they eventually just got tired of booing me. And then I did my 15 minutes. But it was literally, there was a point where they started booing again, and I couldn't hear what I was saying. And I was just like, I can't even hear, because there's like no, maybe they turned off the monitor. For all I know, they turned off the microphone. I didn't even know.
Wow.
And then I got off stage, and Paulie's manager at the time was John Bon Jovi's brother. And he goes, what was that? I say, comedy? And,
with a question mark.
Right, with a question mark. I think it's comedy. I took a class. So, yeah, that was definitely the worst.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah. The booze overpowering your own thoughts is the worst. Terrible.
Yeah. It's bad. When you can't hear and you can't like process thoughts, because you're like, I don't know if I'm even making words. I literally cannot hear myself.
Such animosity from that crowd. Jeez. Oh,
but you powered through. That's impressive that you made it.
Yeah, you gotta let them tucker themselves out when they get to that situation.
Wear them down.
Yeah.
I got that Burgess Meredith voice. Come on, Rock. Wear them down. They can't boo you forever.
And then afterwards, they may not like you, but they'll at least respect.
Oh, no respect. There's some girl I ran into like a week later. She's like, oh, I saw you at the Pauly Shore show. I was like, yeah. She's like, what were you doing? Like, no respect. No, like, I really admired you. No, none of that.
Dang. That's pretty brutal.
I think that's one thing I've learned. I was trying to think, like, because it coming up on 30 years, I was like, how do I sum up, like, how you do this or what I've done? And I think part of it is just being oblivious to people's dislike towards you. Just not being aware of, like, oh, I guess, like, years later realizing, oh, they didn't like me. Like, that's why they didn't, like, it wasn't really. I remember I auditioned for a show called That 80s Show.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. There's that 70 shows and that 80 shows. I think Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny was the lead of it. And I remember I auditioned. It was one of my first big auditions. And I improvised a line. And I thought it was pretty funny. And I don't remember what the line was, but I improvised an extra line. And the casting director was like, oh, we'll be sure to tell the writers about that one. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. And no idea they were being sarcastic. Like, I was like, well, I've made quite an impression.
Should I give you my email so you can tell me how they responded?
would you like my information? So call me. I have other ideas.
Yeah. So how many years later was it that you realized that they weren't being nice?
It was literally about 6 weeks ago. I was just like, oh yeah, they didn't really like that. Like, I was just, and it's just funny, like, you don't, the things you don't realize and the things that you're probably lucky you don't realize until years later. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So, that's part of the key, I think. I don't know if you guys experienced that where you're just like, oh, I wasn't very good. That's why this didn't happen for me, or that didn't happen, or you know. Or was there something where you're like, oh, that went really good. I'm really, you know, like a private gig where you're just like, you don't realize you didn't do well. And then like years later, you're like, oh, I did really bad. That's why they never,
that's why they never got me back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good at realizing people's disdain for me.
You're like that George Costanza. Yeah. Like, I have an ability to recognize really people's suffering. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I probably need a couple of years and I'll realize more.
Yeah.
I
sometimes
feel like
Taylor looks at me in a way that I think is friendly.
It is friendly. It always is. I think there, because I really like doing weird stuff. And there was times people would be watching me and I would think like, oh man, I'm killing. But it was like, it's that fine line of being laughed at versus weird.
Right.
So, yeah, captivated versus confused and angry.
I definitely had that early on where I used to sing a song about a potato. That is about a 3-minute song. And I just committed. There was, everyone would always say that. You're really committed up there.
Yes, it's
like,
yes, I am.
It was never like you're very funny. It was like, you really commit. It's funny because Craig Robinson, like I see Craig Robinson every once in a while from The Office, and he still remembers it because we started together in like Milwaukee and Chicago, and he'll always see me. I'm not sure he knows my name, but he'll always go, Potato.
And he's a song guy, so that's a compliment because he remembers.
Yeah. That was one of those things, I think. But it did, doing weird stuff did get a lot of attention early on. So, like, when I submitted for a Comedy Central contest, and I remember Potato Song was part of the submission tape. And what the woman told me who looked at the tape, she said, I saw your tape. I called everyone from the Comedy Central office in to watch it, and we just died laughing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, because it was like so, there was so much of the same stuff over and over. Right. And I think that's one thing when you're younger, you tend to not be oblivious. And I think that's like the key is to not know better.
Yeah.
Be like, well, this isn't really, you can't put that on a TV show.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, it's weird. And it's different.
Yeah. It'll catch somebody's eye at some point. you do a lot of like TV stuff, and I saw you in Euphoria and things like that.
Euphoria. Were you really in Euphoria?
I was in Euphoria.
Oh man,
I got a good story about that. That was I auditioned for it like in like October, and I did shot it in January, but I auditioned in October, and I just fooled around. I was a biology teacher, and I was fooling around in the audition because it's just a few lines, and I started improvising. I started saying like, hey, and also guys, check me out. I'm going to be doing an open mic over at Buzz's, and would love if you guys come out, a little extra credit for everybody. So I'm just riffing, and the casting director is dying. And he's just like, just do that again. And then I didn't hear anything, but I was like, oh, it was a great audition. Then in January, I got a call to go in, and I got the part. And I was like, oh my, I can't even remember. Believe they this is happening, because I was like, I read about it. I was like, this teen drama, and it's super like edgy, and I was like, and it did not fit any of those categories. So I was like, well, I'm gonna play it the way I did in the audition, which was just silly and fun, and that's not what they wanted. And I remember they were setting up the shot, and they're trying to get this thing. They wanted me to carry this model in there. If you see the, I have a picture on my website of it, but they're like, oh, if we do it from this angle, we won't be able to get the biology teacher in there. And then it's like, yeah, if we shot it from here, then we can get the biology teacher, and then we can get her reaction off there. And then all of a sudden the director's like, nobody cares about the biology teacher. I was like, oh, this doesn't bode well for me. Yeah, I kind of ended up on the cutting room floor. You see me right at the beginning of the scene. Yeah. That's it. But yeah, I love the TV acting stuff. That's you know, something I like to do more of. It's the whole reason I moved to LA, and you know, I did an episode of Party Down, the new season of Party Down. I had a little role on that, and my biggest thing was doing The Closer on TNT, where I played a murderer. I was like the big reveal, like nobody suspected the apartment manager. But yeah, it was me.
How did you prepare for that role? Were you watching murder documentaries? Or
I mean, again, it was another one where I was supposed to actually go on a cruise ship. It was supposed to be my first cruise ship. That was like 2010 or 11. And I did not want to go on the cruise ship because I was like, you had to do like 2 45-minute sets at the time. I didn't have, but my agent's like, yeah, just go. You'll figure it out. I was like, it's terrible advice. You'll figure it out. Wow. And then I went in for this audition, and I was like, it's a dramatic role. It's like very no comedy in it. So I read it, and I remember I was reading for the casting director. I was still on book, and I was just kind of looking and kind of reacting. And the casting director, I see the assistant tapping the casting director, like, this guy's got it. Like, I was like, and I'm like aware of it, and I'm still auditioning, but I see her like tapping him. And then I get a call to go in that evening for the audition, and I see all these guys, and I was like, oh my God, everyone's so much creepier than me. Like, there's some guys, I was like, that guy should do it. That guy definitely committed the murder. In real life, he probably did it. And then I auditioned, and I got a call later. I think the next day I got a call, like, you booked it. It's, you know, 7-day shoot, so we got to cancel the cruise ship. And it was like probably the best thing that it was one of those moments in your career where you're like, if that didn't happen, it could have so easily gone the other way. And there's so many moments in your career where that happened. Like, I auditioned for Montreal, and I did Montreal in 2004, and I bombed in Montreal. I did not have a good set. And I was like, destroyed, like it was so bad. And they wrote it up in the newspaper in the Montreal Gazette, and everyone had a number grade. So I was like, Steve Smith, 7, you know. And it's like, Tom Clark, bomb. A picture of a bomb. Wow. And I was like, oh my gosh, this was horrible. And at that festival was Mitch Hedberg, and Mitch saw me, and I'd worked with him maybe a year earlier, and he's like, Tom Clark, what's up? And he's like super friendly to me, and I hung out, and I went with him to his show, Andy Kindler's show, and the Flight of the Conchords were there. It was their first time performing, like, in before they got discovered. Wow. So it was so cool, and it was such a great night, and totally like Mitch Hedberg saying, like,
introduce him to his agent. Say, says Tom Clark, he's really funny. I was like, oh my God, like Mitch Hedberg thinks that. And then years later, I read an interview with Mitch Hedberg, and it said, he's like, they got to stop rating these new faces. He's like, I saw one comedian, he got a bomb. Comedians are going to kill themselves if they get if this happens. I was like, oh my God, he was so worried about me. Oh, that's man. Why I was saying.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it was so nice. But those are like those little moments in your career where you're like, it could go one way or the other. Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, it's just, you know, you just wonder what would that other path have been. You know? Yeah. You, and I guess that's why you stick with it, right? You just never know when that break or when that thing's going to come along. It's never what you expect that's going to happen.
Wow, that's funny. Awesome.
You've posted a picture of that review, right? I feel like I've seen it. I've seen you post it on Twitter.
I think
Twitter
it's on my Twitter somewhere, yeah. Or X, yeah. But yeah, it's one of my – because that's another thing I discovered like a couple years ago, that interview that Mitch did. And then realize that, oh my
that was
gosh,
me.
Like, that was me. He's talking about me. I'm the one who bombed.
I love your math bit.
Oh, thank you.
Now, so math was your strong suit or no when you were in?
I'm going to say no. I think it, I mean, the joke is about the multiplication table. I was fine with that. It was,
yeah.
When I hit algebra, that was it. That was, I took algebra all the way to calculus, and I still have no idea what I was doing.
Calculus, that's one you don't even have to take.
I know. I was thinking about being in computer information systems was going to be my major because my brother did that, and I realized, like, oh, there's a reason why I finished the stand-up class and he didn't. So, yeah, it was not my forte.
Did he become a computer engineer?
He's a consultant for Accenture and all those big wigs, Fortune 500 companies.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, what were your paths of study of choice? What do you call them? Classes? Genre?
Majors?
But earlier than that. I'm doing gestures. We're talking about...
What are you trying to say
right now? Math, science. What's the word? English? What are those?
Subjects?
Subjects.
I love that you called it a genre of class. You're such a film nerd, dude.
Subjects.
Give me another shot at that question.
No, that was funny. We had to keep that in.
I was good at spelling. I love spelling.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was a good speller. I mean, that's mostly grade school, right? kicked butt in spelling.
Really?
Do you always know the right there to use? Never had a problem with that.
Now I do. Now I'm bad at it. Then I was like,
I have gotten worse than that also.
Yeah.
Which
I'm
weird.
Angry and I'm typing. I don't have time to go there. You're
angry.
Why are you angry
every
typing?
Time you're typing.
No worries. I'm just, some things need to be said on the internet. I don't have time to...
Do you engage with haters on the internet?
No, I used to. I had a moment where I was auditioning for the spinoff from The Office, Dwight's Schrute spinoff, The Farm. And I remember I got into something with somebody on the internet before the audition. And I was so unfocused on the audition that I like flubbed the line in the audition. I was like, never again. Like, that was so stupid to engage in that. And it really is like a powerful thing of like just that, what do they call it? Just that engage, you're wanting to engage with the hatred. And one of the best things I saw was Andy Gold, who made the video of all of his haters.
So funny.
With the Hulk Hogan theme song. I'm a real American.
Yeah.
All their pictures and their quotes of what they said to him. And
awesome.
Yeah, when I first got the special release, that was always hard, was hearing all the... You know, there's so many nice comments, and it would have been very easy just to focus on those, but it was those mean comments that would just eat at you. And I think now I just sort of laugh at it. I mean, I think you need to build up a little resistance, but if you've never gotten it before, it's like, and some of the things people say, like, some of it's like, I guess got to address this because it's so dumb.
Yeah.
You're so stupid. Like, it's making me, I need to make sure you're okay. So, yeah, I don't, yeah, I try not to engage with the haters.
Yeah, I don't really understand the mind of a hater. I don't know. I don't know a person in my life who is a person that goes and leaves mean comments on videos. Like, who are these people?
Right.
It just seems like a weird thing to do with your time.
Yeah.
Like, keep commenting on our podcast. It's good for the numbers.
No, people are pretty nice about us for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few.
Somebody called us Tweedledee and Tweedledum, but I kind of like that one, actually.
Yeah, me too. We're more and more embracing that identity as time goes on.
I could get the little whirly bird hat. Yeah. Dress the same. I could see that. Not a bad idea. That's
right. Yeah. Well, the reason I was asking you about your subjects, I almost lost it again. If you were to design the ultimate course for people to go through grade school, what subjects would you put on it? Maybe some that aren't on there. What, do you like this question?
Or I'm so engaged by it.
You're in charge of the curriculum.
I mean, nowadays I would have an internet course just for an internet of like, good person, bad person.
Yeah,
that would definitely
important.
Be a major course, I would introduce. Let's see, what else would I have? Yeah, definitely social media would definitely be a major course. That would be an addition. Spelling would be important. Maybe just like, and I sound like such an old man, like etiquette, something with etiquette, just of like, we were talking about hot takes. Here's my hot take. These kids on bikes that aren't bikes, they're motorcycles. They're not bikes. Have you seen these? Where just like, they're just motorized. They have pedals. They look like a bike. It's motorized, and they can go like 60 miles per hour. It's insane to me. And parents are just like, yeah, go have fun, Johnny. I saw a kid on a bike. I came home late last night, and it was three kids on a bike, on just this bike. This little kid squeezed in the middle. It's 10:30 at night, and they're just going 40 miles
all
per hour
on the same
down
bike,
the street.
Not a tandem bike?
Not a tandem
one?
Bike. That's just one same. Bike. Three kids going 40 miles per hour down the street.
Is it like a moped? Is that what that is?
It's not a, it's a
like
motor,
electric bike.
An electric bike. Yeah. Those drive me nuts. Well, you know, in LA we had scooters, Bird scooters. I know you had probably had scooters out too, but you know, the Bird scooter guy was just like, we're just going to put them out on the street. Like they're like, they went, didn't go through the city council. They didn't do anything. They're just like,
these like the rentable scooters.
Yeah.
You can like app.
Yeah. And they just put them on the streets and they're like, we'll let the city figure out what to do. So like that's a lot of what they're doing is people are no longer going through like proper channels or like testing products. They're just like, here it is, now you deal with it. And it's like until something happens. So it's like that drives me a little nuts, is just these entrepreneurs, these internet entrepreneurs, where they'll just kind of release these apps that just become burdens on society. Yeah. And it's like, here's a Bird scooter. I don't know what you guys are going to do with it, but people be throwing it in the street. And,
be safe.
Yeah. I don't. People that ride those scooters, I mean, the same with the motorbike. It's like in LA, I would never think to like, I'm going to get on a bike. That seems like a great idea to get on a bike and go riding.
We'll zip around.
Yeah, zip around in traffic. Yeah, that makes, yeah. Bikes are like, what are you doing? I don't get it. I mean, I've.
Bikes overall or just the motorized ones?
Just bikes overall. Just even the people that like dress up in the whole, Tour de France outfits.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like pedaling on like a highway and it's like, what are you doing? Like, why? Like, this isn't healthy. This is like the health benefits and the danger aspect is like, it's not going to work out.
Yeah,
for them.
The scale is not balanced well in their favor on that one. Yeah, it stresses me out. I don't have good balance overall, which might be a blessing because I don't even want to get on a scooter. Period.
Yeah, I've never gotten on one.
Yeah, sometimes kids will, rent a bunch of them and you'll hear them. They'll like. Kids around here, they know how to drift on them. They know how to make like engine, like rev the engine They know how to make tire squeal noises, like just swing the background, you'll hear like a.
And then is that true?
Yeah.
You live in a bad part of town.
It's here.
It's a bad part of town you're living in. Those are the Scooter Boys.
You got the Scooter Gangs.
Yeah. The Lime Boys.
Somebody told me a gang. I was in a city and they said the gang there was the Little Boys.
That's scary.
I was like, that's not a good name for a gang. But I'm like, then I like looked him up. I was like, oh, okay. Well.
Sort of like being ironic.
Sort of like a boy named Sue, I think it is. Like, I gave you that name to make you tough. The Little Boys.
Anytime anyone says, oh, you guys are the Little Boys. What'd you call me? Every time.
We ain't no Little Boys.
It would be cool if they had a height limit to join the gang, though.
We represent the Little Boy Gang. Oh, boy. They're
cute, but terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, no disrespect to Little Boys. You keep doing whatever you Little Boys are doing.
You keep doing
it. Way to steer us clear there, Taylor.
You keep doing it, you Little Boys. Yeah, this is like has like that poor comedian Dina Hashem where she made the joke about XXXTentacion.
Internet
class. It's like we're gonna be like the Little Boy. Yeah, boy. They came for us.
Oh man.
Well, is there anything else you want to touch on and tell the fans before we head out of here, Tom?
Let me see. I'm just. Come out to a show. I'm doing shows. I'll be in Arizona. I'm going to be in Wisconsin. That's it. And I perform all over California. So I'm always looking. I love, going out to shows. If you guys want to have me perform in your backyard, I'll do it.
Even at a pool.
At a pool.
Pool party.
Pool party. You got a water slide? I'll perform on the slide. I'll perform as you go down the slide. No, but just check out my website, tomclark.com. And my wife is also a comedian, Steph Clark Comedy. So we tour around together a lot. And, we'd love to have people come out to a show. I got to bring her out here to the U.
Yeah, she hasn't been out here, has she?
No, she hasn't. She wants to come out, but we never. Maybe in October. I'll be in Ogden in October.
Oh, cool.
October 11th and 12th in Idaho Falls, I think, on the 10th for Keith.
So, oh, yeah, yeah.
The event center, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that place is fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, guys, this has been a joy, absolute joy, but it's time to sign off. Guys, check out drybarcomedy.com to watch Tom's special and see new specials coming out every week. This has been the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.